Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details. Ooh,
Trust and Will. My dad and I were always close, but some things we just didn't talk about, like his will. After he was gone, we found out he didn't have one, and it created a lot of stress during a time of grief.
Creating a will can be hard to think about, but avoiding it can lead to greater difficulty for the people you love. That's why Trust and Will makes estate planning simple. Create a will online in as little as 30 minutes.
Now, I have a will in place to make sure my loved ones are protected. With Trust and Will, it was easy and affordable. And I got peace of mind knowing my wishes are clear. Trust and
Will. Get 20% off when you visit trustandwill.com/future. That's trustandwill.com/future to get 20% off. trustandwill.com/future.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Chapter 12. Oberyn. The Rhodeshi have many death games. It is the only kind of sport that is sacred to them. However, their favorite is a board game known as Pazak. Translated into Galactic Basic, it roughly means he who desires the galaxy. The game mimics the rise and fall of civilizations, with the board being a four-spiral arm galaxy. Individual systems are represented on a three-dimensional plane, with FTL restricted by IBIS drives until relays can be constructed. The game is separated into three distinct phases, being exploration, conquest, and finally, collapse. This is marked by some sort of catastrophe which sweeps across the galaxy. Even though there are winners and losers at the gambling tables, the goal of Pazak is not victory, a calcified end state meaningless to the universe the game is designed to emulate. Instead, the end conditions are used to seed the board of the next game. But what makes Rhodeshi games unique, what separates them from most galactic entertainment, is that players are expected to use their own resources as part of the game. Real money is invested into digital economies, real technology is traded for research bonuses, and real weapons of war are used as units. I admit, it took me by surprise that Amon Russ would not be considered a player, but rather yet another piece on the board. "So you're the game master," Amon spoke flatly, drinking from a bottle of Rhodeshi wine. "I've had time to do a little research. What's your GLA rating again?"
0.83.
Oberyn puffed from a long pipe he held with his three fingers.
"If you have any doubt of my qualifications, I was sent to the Otomnu Academies when I was 5 solar cycles old. My first memories were learning the fundamentals. I assure you, your money cannot buy better talent."
We sat in a cushioned round booth on the Rhodeshi pleasure yacht. Evidently, this Oberyn was considered of very high station in his society. As a matter of fact, the Game Masters were considered just one rung below the ruling class of Rhodon. I just wish what was comfortable for a Rhodeshi had been comfortable for a human. The booth was 2 sizes too large. Amon reclined while my feet couldn't reach the end of the cushion. It never gets easier, being a visitor in some alien's ship. Unlike the Aphelion, the pleasure yacht's ceilings and halls were disconcertingly large for humans. Everything felt more difficult than it ought to be. I hated the bright lights inset into the glaring plasteel walls. They gave me a headache as I stepped aboard. I hated how the air had a sweet taste in my mouth, like the scent of a nauseating perfume that wouldn't go away. Even the artificial gravity, it was just low enough to make me trip and stumble. However, despite all of this, I still marveled at the ship. The floors were made of a scarlet polished wood, the first I had ever seen of such a substance in real life. At every corner there was some new piece of furniture or luxury, like couches made of rare bone or dispensaries that could replicate matter. The windows, hollow screens, were set to make the vessel appear as if it was in orbit around some garden world. What drew my eye the most were the ornamented collections. I did not know if this was a penchant of the species or perhaps the tastes of this individual Rodeshi, but there were whole rooms in the yacht dedicated to the display of various games enjoyed across the galaxy. Board games, card games, holo games, each one in a glass case and kept as some trophy. Amon crossed his arms, drawing my attention back to the conversation. What do you mean, your money? Oberyn puffed again.
I'm not sure there is a word in your language for the concept. Perhaps an Aramite? There's a spiritual caste in our society who volunteer for brain surgery. They remap their neurons for Bazaak, exchanging the ability to speak, see, and hear. They dedicate themselves totally to their craft. But neither you nor the Dalphaean would be able to purchase their services. They demand far more unusual currencies.
And are you good enough to beat them? Oberyn laughed, coughing on sweet-smelling smoke.
That's why you're here, isn't it?
As equally new as the ship, Oberyn too was a new creature. He had mottled silver skin with an oblong head. The alien was tall, extremely so. Wearing golden robes, his vestments were held together with clips at foot-long intervals. Their bodies are so tall and frail that it is easier to strap cloth in horizontal bands than try to struggle like a human putting on trousers. His two sets of eyes moved in independent pairs and perturbed me even as he gave a friendly smile with his blocky teeth.
Which brings us to the next topic of conversation,
Nyra, the representative of Layrad, said.
When will you be ready for the surgery?
The Nekomata looked at Amon expectantly. This Nekomata was patterned after a Rodeshi female. That is to say, a slimmer, shorter version of Oberyn with two pheromone slits running along her cheeks. Much like Maya, she was left to provoke the senses, although for an entirely different species. I was confused about what she said and leaned over to ask Kaiba to explain.
Carapace suits take weeks of intensive body and brain modification to wear,
she whispered back.
Among other things, they must remove every drop of blood in Amon's body. His heart will be replaced with a nanofabricator, and his neural tissue will be extended and diffused along his spine. It's also an early generation of the armor, comparatively speaking.
I casually nodded my head, content with her answer. I can do the operation whenever, Amon replied. But it's Tut who's going to do the surgery. Nyra pursed her lips.
The suit is an incredibly advanced...
Which is why Tut is going to do it. Have your surgeons ever actually worked with corpse armor? Nyra hesitated.
We've run the best simulations.
Forgive me if I prefer a doctor with actual experience. Run it up with Layrad if you want. Unless you want to risk something going wrong, that is. The tips of Nyra's fingers opened and a hollow screen appeared in front of her. She tabbed a message and unhappily swiped it closed. I want to hear more about your strategy, Amon asked. As a piece on your board, I think I have a right to know what you're planning. Oberyn grinned.
Of course. I'm not sure how familiar you are with Bazaak, but there's a cap on the amount you can bring forward on any game. This is calculated on the skill level and particular rule set of the tournament. And as this game is opened up to the length and breadth of the spiral arm, the amount is equally commensurate.
So what else are we working with? The Rodeshi laughed.
You're it.
Amon stared at the alien.
What do you want me to say?
Oberyn held out his hands helplessly.
In any other game, you would be a banned unit. Illegal. I wasn't even allowed to run them in simulations. There wouldn't be a point. Let's say we start on a single world with no resources in population. You still break Bazaak's single combat mechanics. It doesn't matter what combination or force multiplier they put against you, you win hands down. Every known permutation in the galaxy has you overwhelmingly coming up on top. The only way to lose is for the other player to deploy another human, or if you are so exceedingly stupid that you get yourself killed wearing one of the most powerful suits of armor in existence. And that was before the Zero Sword.
And what if there are other humans? Do you have knowledge of any of the other players yet? Their units? Am I going to have to kill my own kind for your game? Kybert was not English, and I so desperately wished she were here right now. Above all, English could explain things that Kybert couldn't. She could pick up on things that Kybert wouldn't even notice. But my mother was not permitted on the pleasure yacht. Not without a phonic collar, which caused her a great deal of pain. And so I had to guess at the obvious signals in the room. Amon seemed utterly repelled by the death game, though for the life of me I could not place the reason why.
"Now you're asking about the pre-round,"
Oberyn leaned forward.
"That's a bit more complicated. Legally, of course, no one has to publicly disclose anything. However, let's just say the betting tables have their methods of obtaining information. You'll be happy to know that there's no word of other human units, at least not yet. But there is another one of your species entering as a player."
Oberyn tapped a few keys on the table and another human's face appeared in a hologram. I don't know why, but the breath always seemed to steal from my lungs on the rarest occasion that I saw another human face, even one so marred and disfigured as the one that was shown before me now. I suppose it always was a reminder that no matter how terrible the circumstances of my species, that I wasn't alone. That is not to say I have ever held strangers above English. In fact, there have only been 3 humans in my entire life who I have loved as much as her, Amon being one of them. However, I could never learn what it was to be human from English. Though she tried her best, she acted differently than a human would. Even something so simple as her lifespan changed everything between us. And as I stand now, having lived for nearly 1,000 years, I can only think of the mother I lost before I was 30. That is what it means for us humans, something no alien in the entire universe can ever hope to comprehend. We outlive everyone we love. Amon sucked in a deep breath.
"I know that man."
"Waylon Tyrell. I'm informed he's a connoisseur. Impressive net worth, but he's an unremarkable Bazaar player."
"He's a traitor who made his fortune on selling humans."
Oberyn shrugged.
"Everything bought has its price."
I turned to examine the hollow image. The old man looked like he had undergone radical reconstructive surgery, but even so, it looked like they weren't able to piece him back together again. Or rather, he didn't want to be put back together again. Half his face was terribly sunken in with an artificial eye poking out of a collapsed socket. His thinning hair and splotched features did nothing to improve his appearance.
"May I remind you that murdering other players will get us disqualified?"
Nyra spoke, seeing Amon's expression.
"Adjudicator Leirad wanted it quite clear he only wants your talents employed within the arena."
"Fine." Amon turned to Oberyn. "Do you control where you start on the board? I want Tyrell out of the game as soon as possible."
It seemed something Amon said was hilariously funny to Oberyn. The Rhodeshi burst out laughing. Oberyn did not have tear ducts to cry, but he was howling uncontrollably. We sat in awkward silence for a minute until he finally calmed himself down.
"I apologize. I meant no offense,"
Oberyn said between bursts of titters.
"It is an old joke among game masters that the pieces play the game and not the players. But I will make an appeal to the wardens. A blood feud between 2 of the last humans in the galaxy? That is what our entertainment is for."
I ran up to English as I saw her standing in the airlock. She had her arms crossed, unhappy with Amon because he had once again decided to include me when it wasn't necessary. Although I could not account for her behavior at the time, she was aware of Amon's deepest reason for why he demanded I attend everything, for why he never once showed caution. She had known him long enough to guess at his secret confession, the one he told me when I thought English had died, the one whose every syllable I recall and yet remembering not one word. I stopped just before I could reach out to her, glancing between her and Amon as they stood opposing one another. A second passed. English slowly, silently, let her arms fall to her sides,
and she meekly stepped out of the way to let Amon pass.
No. I want to hear what you have to say, Amon gruffly told her.
I just don't want to see you in such horrible pain is all.
She thumbed her fingers.
I would do anything to make it stop.
I looked at Amon, confused. As I write this now, there were probably 100 conversations between him and Ingrish that I was not privy to. 100 moments that I had been absent from since we departed Geyser 6. Or knowing Amon, maybe there had been none at all. Either way, there was much between them that I did not know. Some of that was normal for a child, but there was also the fact that Amon Russ was Amon Russ. He was not a man to share his burdens lightly. You already know my every thought, my every word, everything I would say. And you know you can't help me. So the only reason you want this conversation is because you want Vast to hear it.
I won't speak a word.
Ingrish bowed her head. A moment of indecision crossed Amon's face. He nodded his head down at me, pondering some thought I couldn't possibly guess at. I looked over to Ingrish with a pleading expression, hoping she would explain what she was talking about. But true to her word, she kept her silence. Amon put a hand on my shoulder. When you're older, he said. He leapt back into the aphelion without saying another word. I was left dumbfounded by the inscrutable interaction. Again, staring helplessly at Ingrish, she did not hint at the meaning of Amon's words.
I don't understand why,
I said.
It's for him to say. Why?
Ingrish sighed.
We may speak the same language, use the same sentences to express the same ideas, but there are certain words only a single person can say. Otherwise, it won't mean the same thing. If I tell you, it would be nothing more than going behind Amon's back.
I thought about this for a moment.
What do you want him to say?
Ingrish glanced at me, about to say something, and then she simply gave a tired smile.
I don't think Amon quite sees it yet, just how clever you really are.
She patted me on the head. I winced at the gesture, but I didn't try to stop her.